something wrong. Gotta know where you're coming from before you can take a stand. You gotta laugh that, yeah. Soon there'll be judgment. Oh, hey, yeah. Choices, yeah, you gotta make one. Be wise, open your eyes. Do not mix up with pagans, no, no. You gotta move on, no delay. I'm saying this day by day. Yeah. Nothing to prove on your journey. Listen when the rest of them say, he's out of last time. Yeah. Soon there'll be judgment. Walking down the street, children without food to eat. Everywhere I turn, them are more than a week. Yeah. Every time they speak words of the sea. Yeah. And whenever they come and go, them inoculate the place with disease. Yeah. Nowhere to run, to run, to run. Nowhere to run, to run, to run. Nowhere to run, to run, to run. Judgment.
I will make a rhythm, yeah. La, da, what is? dancehall. No, sir. Rhythm can't go sweet, Rasta. Afro. Hey, we never heard that before. Hey, here we go. Lord, now what is? Lord, now what is? Lord, now what is? Lord, now what is? And them now go play with that tune, you know. You know what is the maximum one with? Got the people that want to dance with. You know what dance with no portrait. Lord, what is? Lord, what is? Lord, what is?
I want you to leave me. But I said to myself, no matter what you do, I always love you.
Cause there's no one in the world like you. Oh baby, no one is gonna make me feel the way that you do. No, there's no one in the world like you. Oh baby, no one is gonna make me feel the way that you do. The sunshine, sunshine, oh baby, you make me love you all the time. Sunshine, sunshine, oh baby, you make me love you all. Oh my sunshine, oh my sunshine, love you every time. The sunshine, sunshine, oh baby, you make me love you all the time. Sunshine. sunshine. Oh baby, you make me love you all the time. Baby, you don't love me anymore, but I hope you still care to say yeah, yeah. Maybe someday we'll be together, sharing our love, darling. Sha la 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 la, I love you, oh baby. Sha la 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 la, I do care for you. Oh yeah.
Yeah, wagwa mi jena.
Yo, wagwa.
You know, see one giant that go on like say my baddest thing about ya, brother.
Yeah.
Man that go on like him want lock down a place like a jail, a dog. Yo, I'ma make a link to come you see me? I'm mad so poor ever deal the situation, yo. Go.
Mikey Dangerous. Smoke shop.
Flames on. Babylon a burn up, are you with me?
Are you with me?
Them a burn up, yes, so trust me. I feel all I made the wanna sick me. Them no give a damn of from the adult to the picnic. Anytime you see the Rasa rated or run on this, they won't know you. Africans without a spear and I no Britney. So you stand be have a problem and no Whitney. Babylon a burn up in a fire, Mississippi. Hoy. Level down Babylon and no level 5. Be a fire upon the devil's side. We no intimidating by the devil's size. 5-7 judge, I make me feel like 7-5. Giant, man, mighty, stand defiant. Chat him in the power, fi burn anything a fight. Hear the trumpet loud, can't quiet, Goliath. Get a steady diet and me prayers in my riot. Kanka who, them a liar. Chat the messiah, a desire from the throne and not no higher. Higher, where them a tire. What we go down in a gong with them desire. But the writing on the wall is like a flyer. Babylon a go down in a fire, rubber tire. Ho, ho, ho. So them can't say we go out, fi burn a Eden. Them know say we no stall. We conquer them all, man, fall like a Jericho wall. Smoke shot, level down Babylon and no level 5. But fear fire upon the devil's side. We no intimidating by the devil's size. 5-7 judge, I make me feel like 7-5. Giant, man, mighty, stand defiant. Chuck him in the power, fi burn anything a fight. Flames on any time when we take streets. Step up in a Babylon neck with my crepe seat. Everything burn up at the fire when we catch street. Everywhere I go pyro to me technique. Man a product at the fire, yeah, me make feet. If you can't take the fire, better take seat. Violate anything where you get keep. Cause the rats sting just a fire like a tech beat. Boom, boom, boom. Stone, lava, we think fire, we no fling stone, master. And he can't cool in water. Fire, no something for your fool with a scorcher. So them can't say we go out, we burn a Eden. Them know say we no stall. We conquer them all, man, fall like a Jericho wall. Smoke shot, level down Babylon and no level 5. But be a fire upon the devil's side. We no intimidating by the devil's size. 5-7 judge, I make me feel like 7-5. Giant, man, mighty, stand defiant. Shut him in the power, fi burn anything a fight. Babylon a burn up, are you with me? Are you with me? Them a burn up, yes, so Christmas. I feel all I made, the wound no sick me. Them no give a damn from the adult to the picnic. Anytime you see the Rasa rated, I run on this. They wound no jail. Africans without a spear and I no Britney. So you stand, we have a problem and no Whitney. Babylon a burn up in a fire, Mississippi. Hoy, hoy, hoy. So them can't say we come out, fi burn a Eden. Them know say we no stall. We conquer them all, man, fall like a Jericho wall. Level down Babylon and no level 5. But be a fire upon the devil's side. We no intimidating by the devil's size. 5-7 judge, I make me feel like 7-5. Giant, man, mighty, stand defiant. Shut him in the power, fi burn anything a fight.
In last week's edition of the show, I did not give a rundown of the playlist. So here we go. Last week you heard Peter Tosh, Mikey Dangerous, JR Express. I think that was recorded way back when at the Rising Sun. Gotta give a shout out to Daniel Doucet for having those recordings available. You also heard from Rebel Do, something from Joyce and Sana, Japanese Warrior. You heard from Jimmy Cliff. You heard from Ijaman, Third World. Also from Ibo and Kindred. You also heard from the Dub Syndicate, Alpha Blondie, the Gladiators, and the Tamlins. The 14-day forecast, the day the 7th of September. Sunny, 25 degrees. Mainly sunny on Thursday, 26 degrees. On Friday, sunny, 27 degrees. Saturday, mainly sunny, 27 degrees. On Sunday, a few showers, 24 degrees. And Monday, rain, 21 degrees. At this time of year, as the weather changes, it's back to school and changes for many, many households. Summer has gone and we look for the fall and the change of the flowers, and a new beginning, a new season has arrived. So first of all, wishing all you students out there to do the best that you can, and wish you all the success for your future endeavors. And for everyone in this new season, may you all reap the benefits of a good season that's about to come upon us. I would also like to say happy birthday to those of you who have celebrated recent birthdays, those of you who are celebrating birthdays, and those of you in the distant future who are about to celebrate birthdays, and those of you who are looking forward to celebrating many, many more to come, and wishing you many, many more to come. So that's a birthday shout out from yours truly. Like to take this in this time to say a big up to you, the audience, who have been listening. Okay, so pat yourself on the back. You notice I say on the back, right? Yeah, it's that's what they usually say. But yes, so big yourself up and pat yourself, and you know, you can clap and. I'd like to say that the Full Circle Show does appreciate your support financially during the years of fundraising drive, and also for you, you know, just waking up on a Wednesday morning and tuning in. And don't forget, you can spread the word. We are on the World Wide Web. We are on the website live. If you never checked it out before, just be forewarned that because of technical difficulties, you know, you might not be able to tune in on the website, but it's available on the web via other outlets, via other streaming sites. So you can check out the Full Circle Show on the web. You know, just Google and find out those streaming sites that does carry this programmation on CKUT. For those of you who don't know, like for many years, there's a radio channel listing that's part of your cable subscription that's been there even before the time of modern day cable television, which I guess it's the same thing. All right, so you can go in your television subscription. There's a section where they list community radio station broadcasting. For instance, I know Bell does carry a listing of community radio stations that's broadcast, plus commercial stations also. So find out where on your cable TV subscription that you can tune in to CKAT 24/7. And on a topic of reggaeton, you know, I mean, recently, reggaeton it's looking like the two sides of a coin, because you have the legends that have contributed to reggae music, but you have them both on each side of the coin. You have those that are still living, and you have those who have passed on. And recently, among those who have passed on, is one of the legendary drummers of the legendary group Aswad. He's known as Drummy Zeb, and he recently passed on. Now, you know of the group that sing the song? It's a cover version of the Mighty Diamonds. Speaking of Mighty Diamonds, before I forget, the Mighty Diamonds lead singer, Tabby Diamond, also along with his co-singer, Bunny Diamond, also passed. All right. And the Mighty Diamonds did a song, Pass the Kutchy, or the Dutchy. The Kutchy is the Diamonds version. And the Kutchy is the Diamonds version. And the Dutchy is from a group that was based in England called Musical Youth. And yes, they were youth. They were basically teenagers, or, you know, a group of youngsters approaching their teenage years when they did that cover version of Pass the Kutchy to Pass the Dutchy on the left-hand side. Well, recently, the drummer of the group Musical Youth passed on. Now, you have also recently from the Israel Vibration Group, one of the singers, to physically, let's use the word physically disabled gentleman, one of them known as Skelly, of Israel Vibration, he also passed on. And just to say, Mayday, rest in peace. And let's all pray for the world, because we live in a global village, and never before so obvious than the technological world that we live in. We're all interconnected. So it's not like back in the day where, you know, one section of the world or one country was isolated from the other part of the world or the other country. Okay. Each one of us are interconnected, and we are all influenced by each other, because we all contribute to what is known as humanity, which is the definition of humankind. Okay, no matter where you are, what culture you're from, we're all a part of this humankind. And in Jamaica, despite of all or the challenges that each country has, including Jamaica, you know, there's also what they say, something available in the silver lining. The silver lining, and one of those silver lining in Jamaica is our athletics. Okay, despite all the ups and downs, challenges, you know, whatever, we still excel on the grand stage in the world. Okay. And we gotta big up our sports athletes who are making the island proud each time they go on the track or go to represent the country. They're making the island proud, so big them up. Like I say, you know, there's a lot of thing within the culture, especially the Jamaican culture. The people of Jamaica are beautiful people, you know, very proud people, you know, and you take it from that, you know, the food, the music, you know, the sports, you know, the list goes on. So, very rich, very rich. So there's a lot of things for, you know, Jamaicans as one country to lift their head and wave their flag high, especially this year of celebrating its 60th anniversary as a people. Okay. We're like moving forward. Okay. The musical selection this morning includes Ras Sparky, Mikey Dangerous, Natty Jean, Energy Crew, Tanya Stevens, Jojo, Mutu Baruka, RZ Jackson, and Japanese Warrior, I and I.
Oh my, oh my.
My God.
Blessed love, crowd of people, and blessed love, Don Specialist. This is Kaya Kindu on the Full Circle Show. CKUT 90.3 FM, yo. Hope you all enjoy my selections this morning. Aight.
Thank you.
This is my island in the sun, where my people have toiled since time begun. I may sail on many a sea, her shores will always be home to me. Oh, island in the sun, built to me by my father's hand, all my days I will sing in praise of your forest waters, your shining sand. As morning breaks the heaven on high, I lift my heavy load to the sky. Sun comes down with a burning glow, mingles my sweat with the earth below. Oh, island in the sun, built to me by my father's hand, all my days I will sing in praise of your forest waters, your shining sand. I see woman on bended knee, cutting cane for her family. I see man at the water's side, casting nets at the surging tide. Oh, island in the sun, built to me by my father's hand, all my days I will sing in praise of your forest waters, your shining sun. I hope the day will never come that I can't awake to the sound of drum. Never let me miss carnival with calypso songs philosophical. Oh, island in the sun, built to me by my father's hand, all my days I will sing in praise of your forest waters, your shining sun.
Do you still feel that anyone whose skin is different from yours is an enemy?
Where you go, I go.
But if I were to walk in with you, or a girl like you as my wife?
Do you care what stupid and prejudiced people think?
You've never had to fight stupidity or prejudice.
Does he think that the only issue here is one of color? Is he saying that that is the reason why we should vote for him? Is he saying, vote for me because I'm one of you? The only reason that you seek the election is to revenge yourself upon the whites, whom you now think despise you? That the only reason that you want to be black is because you're afraid that the white world will not let you be white anymore? That you want to use us, our votes, so that you can still rule in that world that you still belong to? Don't you still think of us as slaves? As a stupid, ignorant people?
That's a lie!
No, Mr. Fleury, that is the truth!
He's right, I'm not one of you! I don't belong to you! I don't want to be one of you! I never did!
You need have no qualms about marrying Ewan. There isn't a drop of African blood in your veins. My husband isn't your father.
Besides, I'd be a fool.
Why?
Because it would be inevitable.
What would be?
That night that she'd forget herself and call me a nigger.
Hey, friend. Welcome to my channel, Karina Alude, where we talk about everything, and I'm Karina Alude. If you're not yet part of the Friendship Circle, please be sure to like, subscribe, and join the Friendship Circle. If you're already part of the Friendship Circle, please be sure to turn on your notification bell so you can always know when I post a new upload. Now, let's get into this video. So as you guys saw in the beginning, all those clips, I just want to say I had to put them in the beginning so you guys can have the same like moment as I did. I've never seen Island in the Sun. It was always requested by you guys ever since I've done my breakdown of Dorothy Dandridge. And y'all know I love her. I always say she's my mother in my heart. She's my second mother, okay? I don't know, in another life. She's so graceful, so elegant, so beautiful, so soft. And on screen, it just shows, like, I don't know. This woman just had it all, okay? Anything with Dorothy Dandridge in it has interested me in the past few years. And Island in the Sun was just one of those movies. And Carmen Jones, I already did a breakdown for the movie Carmen with Dorothy Dandridge in it, which she was spectacular, you know, and we talked about the Jezebel woman and things like that. So if you haven't seen that, I'll put it in the end cards here in screen, and then you can just go check it out, put it in the search if you can't find it. I'll share it on the community tab also. But I did not know. I knew it was an interracial swirling type of movie too. And I did not know, though, that it was also a woke, like it was this woke. And there were so many key points that were highlighted. So I'm not going to do like a movie review of this. I'm not going to spoil it or tell you all the plot and stuff. I'm just going to talk about like key moments and basically just rant and rave. Okay, so it was like a soap opera type of movie. Basically with like 3 to 4 different storylines that don't always correlate with each other, but somehow they do. So it was very interesting. And I must say my favorite storyline was that of Dorothy Dandridge, period. Yeah, you know, if these conversations are a little triggering for you, or you can't be mature and comment responsibly without being angry or aggressive, you know, just don't watch it. Don't ruin your own day, sis. If you're going to be mad and angry in the comments, don't ruin your own day, okay? Or bro, whoever's watching, like, go be happy. Go watch something happy, because I know these conversations bring on a lot. But let's continue with this. So I want to rant about the costumes and everything. I found that my favorite thing about the movie was the island and the costumes, okay? The island, it reminds me of Blue Lagoon. I did the movie review for Blue Lagoon. So as a result of playing interracial love scenes with Harry Belafonte, let's give some fun facts with that. Joan Fontaine, who played the love interest of Harry Belafonte, who asked him, "Do you think everyone is an enemy when, that has a different skin tone as you?" So she received poison pen mail, including some purported threats from the Ku Klux Klan. And Fontaine turned the letters over to the FBI. Like, people were really trying to end her life for that. The film received mixed reviews, and its interracial themes met. It found initial difficulty being booked in theaters in the southern United States, because the South is just, and the South is still somewhat like that. Like, I live at the tip of the South. It don't get more southern than Florida, okay? We're at the bottom of the South, okay? And trust me, especially if you're a Floridian, you live in the Orlando area. When I lived around Apopka, they used to do rallies, okay? Okay, I would witness those. I had to move out of there real quick when I saw police, FBI, and all those were, because I like to live in wooded areas. I don't really like city lifestyle like that. And Apopka, before it started being developed, was pretty wooded. So there was one day I was coming home, I'm on the phone with my friend, and, you know, I'm telling her, I see a whole bunch of cops, and there was a boy that I went to school with, a high school with, actually, that was missing for like 2 years. And we were praying for him, you know, to where we find him. And they found his body in the woods. And in the midst of finding his body in these woods, after 2 years, they found another body of a young girl with a noose around her head. I was like, I am out of there. I was out of there. I literally moved the very next week. I have no problem moving if I need to, but it's pretty scary. But the South is like that. So they would not book these movies because it was just too graphic for them, too offensive. And this movie is like 60 something years old. There's still people from that era that believe like that, that's still alive and that raised their children to think like that. So we might see another 200 to 300 years before we can finally say that all those people are completely gone. The ideology is gone. And there's like this cultural shift to where race is no longer an issue, if you guys you know, understand. So the film also received protests prior to its opening in the North and St. Paul, Minneapolis. So the North wasn't having it either. It was banned in Memphis, Tennessee as too frank a depiction of offensive to moral standards and no good for either white or Negro. So Zanuck had previously said he would pay the fines of any theater owners fined for showing the film, okay, which was good of him. He was a little bit more progressive at that time. Premiering in June 1957, Island in the Sun was a major box office success, though, despite all the protests. So imagine if they showed this film in every theater. It would have been the number one movie, period. Okay? Period. Better than Gone with the Wind. All right? Period. Opening at number one in the country, with a first week gross of almost $500,000, which was a lot at that time. Don't just think of it like, oh, you know, in the 16 cities that Variety reported. Okay, the film earned $5,550,000 worldwide, which was a lot at that time. I said the movie is like 60 years old. And finished as the sixth highest grossing film of 1957. It was the eighth most popular movie in Britain of that year. And I think the budget was $3 million, which was very high for that time. So a proposal was floated in 2009 to demolish the remains of the real mansion used in the films. Okay, I don't know why, but the mansion is located at Farley Hill, Barbados. Barbados is gorgeous, gorgeous, especially in the 1957s. It wasn't industrialized or anything like that. You could see through the film, like, oh, I could feel the breeze in my hair just watching it in the movie. So the mansion was gutted by fire in the mid-1960s, and all that remained are the foundations and exterior walls of the building. So in the 1960s, you know, haters, that's my opinion, that's alleged. I think haters that hated that this mansion was, because the mansion was gorgeous in the movie, they just went and destroyed it simply because it was a Negro film, a Negro loving film, okay? Haters. But the 20th Century Fox film, Island in the Sun, was produced by Darryl F. Zanuck and directed by Robert Rosen, based on a novel of the same name by Alec Wan, starring Harry Belafonte, James Mason, Dorothy Dandridge, and Joan Collins. She was lovely in it as well. It was one of the most racially controversial films shown in Hollywood for its historical time frame, okay, at that time. Filmed in the lush setting of the West Indies, the feature opens with languid palm trees, blue skies, and crashing aqua waves, very gorgeous, as native inhabitants toil under the tropical sun. So the fictional island of Santa Marta is a combination of Barbados and Grenada, with portions of interior shots completed in Elstree Studios soundstage, England. So the film borders on salacious scandal, politics, the mixed blood heritage of the Caribbean, and interracial relations, with multiple storylines, each of which is easy to follow for the most part. So a Caribbean country is about to, you know, undergo the changeover from colony to independence. So pivotal to that change is the union leader played by Harry Belafonte, who was speaking in the beginning, okay? And he plays David Boyer, a young black man who's emerging as a powerful politician, and he represents the common people and is seen by some as a threat to the white ruling class. So Mavis Norman, who is played by Joan Fontaine, a woman from the elite white class, strikes up a romantic interest in Boyer, who is played by Harry Belafonte, and much of the story explores the tension between those two. So she falls in love with him and is constantly trying to get him to, you know, be in a relationship with her, but he keeps saying, no, I cannot be with a white woman, essentially. Like, he just could not. He would not, especially as a politician. So he has a casual relationship with Dandridge in the beginning, that doesn't have enough fire to toast a marshmallow, according to like the book and stuff. But what's wrong with this picture? Let's talk about it. In the movie, he has a history on the island with John Fontaine, right? But he started off with Dandridge, and I don't know that Belafonte quite has any chemistry with Fontaine once you see Dandridge on his arm. Or am I the only one who saw that, if you saw the film? But Belafonte is a handsome, like, he was a handsome young man, okay? And him and, because he also plays in the movie Carmen with Dorothy Dandridge, and their chemistry, and I know Dorothy Dandridge was dating Otto Preminger at the time, who was like this big director or whatever. Like, he was this powerful Hollywood guy, one of the most powerful, you know, got her. Carmen was his movie. That was his movie. But Dorothy has chemistry with everyone. And the film, she just has this elegant, the way she looks at them, it's like she's madly in love. She's a great actress. But Harry looks like stunned by her. His body language, he was close to her face. He was, you know. But when Fontaine got on the screen, I was like, it was lackluster. Also in the cast, we have Stephen Boyd, who is like the governor's son who returns to the island after months stationed in Egypt without a woman in sight. And he's back on the island until he jets off to London, it's said of him. And this is what they said. So a male, young, white, unmarried, titled and comparatively rich. Good heavens, what else do you think the girls would talk about? End quote. So that is Joan Carlin's love interest in the movie, okay? They fall madly in love, etc. So in regards to the quote in the beginning that you guys don't understand, it's like, okay, so there's this white man whose name is Maxwell in the movie, who's married to Hillary Carson, okay? His name is Maxwell Carson, is part of the Flaherty family. And they're the wealthiest people on the island, okay? They're a white family. But a story about the Flaherty family reveals that Sydney's grandmother was black. I'm sure she could have passed. That sets in motion some radical reassessment of the family status on the island, because white was power on the island. They still have their money, but not entry into some of the best homes. So Mason Maxwell, aka, who has decided to stand for the local parliament with his opponent being Belafonte, tries to exploit his newfound black heritage, but with disastrous results. It ends in tragedy, but also in a strange twist, happiness for one of the Flaherty's, as it is discovered the parents have their own secrets. So basically, he finds out he has like a drop of black in him. He don't look black at all, but he's like, oh, since I have this drop of black in me, the white people don't respect me anymore. Although we're the richest on the island still, we still have no access to certain things because we're technically have a drop of Negro. He was like, I know how I can dominate over them. Let me go and run for office, and then I'll have power over them and this and that. Let me use that little fact of me being black to win over the votes from the people. And at first, the people start falling for it. Like, oh, he's one of us. You know how black people all over, how gullible we can be, okay? We always inviting somebody to the cookout. We always want to pass some politician. They'll say, I got hot sauce in my purse. And all of a sudden, they're for the movement, but we don't look at their past type of thing. So that was very woke for that time and today. And then Harry Belafonte's character came up and was like, nah, he's playing y'all, okay? He just wants to have dominance over the white people that's rejecting him now. So he's running for office, okay? He's using you, and he doesn't care about that. So Harry's going in and in until this man finally snaps and admits, yeah, I never wanted to be any of you. I don't want to be black. Like, he said it in such disgust. Like, he really does see the people as this ignorant people, as slaves, as this and that. So that was interesting to see how Harry got that out of him. But that is the reality in today. And I'm not going to make it a political video. But how many politicians say, if you don't vote this way, then you're not black? Or if you, like, you know, or they'll use black people as props, black issues, they'll go on black platforms to like get your votes, like the Shade Room, etc. Like, they endorse them, and then it's not until they're in office you realize you've been bamboozled and you've been used. And this is why I say we need to educate ourselves on who we vote for, what we do. Don't follow the crowd and things, but vote for people because of your own thing. Don't go on Twitter and let, no offense to anyone listening, y'all know I'm not for divisive or anything like that, but don't let someone who's not of your race tell you how to vote for your race. That's all I'm saying. I can't have a white person tell me, if I don't vote this way, then I'm not black. Like, excuse me? You know what I mean? Vote for yourself. Don't let no one bully you into how you're going to vote, or tell you that if you're not this race, you shouldn't vote this way, or if you vote this way, then you're against your people, you're this, you're that. No, because behind the scenes, these people are using you, and this has been being called out. And those older films are so complex. Like, I prefer them over these newer films where it's just sensuality everywhere and all this, no real, like, substance. Oh, I just can't. But on a lighter note, we'll move on from that. So with that scene, Jocelyn, who is Mason's sister, who had the 1% drop of black blood in her, who is played by Joan Collins. So Joan Collins plays Jocelyn. So she realized she has black in her, and she is depressed when she finds this out, because now she's pregnant by the governor's son. Okay. And she's like, I can't keep the baby. I would be an embarrassment to him. Our baby would not have the life they need because he's black. She's depressed. And it's so hard to watch certain aspects of the movies. It can piss you off to a level, you know, and it reminds you of where you stand in society or where your ancestors stood. Because the pure disgust and anguish and agony, it was like the world dropped on this family's shoulders when they found out that they have black in them. It's like the worst thing you could have told them. And Joan was just so depressed. So her mother reveals to her the truth is that her father was actually a white man that results of an undisclosed affair. So she was like, listen, don't worry. You don't have black for real, because your dad's mom is who had the black blood in him, but he's not really your dad. I had an affair. And she just has relief. She has relief. She's like, oh, yes, I can keep the child. This is amazing. Anyway, so let's just move on from this, because it was just disturbing. So when Dandridge, my baby, she first appears on the movie, she and Belafonte, like I said, made a stunning couple entering the governor's party. She immediately lets Belafonte know she has a mind of her own. She's confident. She's truthful. Tries to do herself some good, pitching for a job in the governor's office, and she got the job. She fits right in, but she plays a mixed race girl. So she's not like a purely West Indian girl. She's mixed. And that says something. We'll get into that. She fits right into the Tony setting with no apology and wearing no maid's uniform. She carries herself with a quiet sophistication. She just is. She's fabulous. Her outfits, she stole the show. She's colors, the way they sat on her skin, she stole the show. She's noticed by the governor's military attaché, John Justin, who played this role really well. He was very soft and gentle with her. And I love how their love story was so romantic, because it was more chill. You know, there was no fetishizing of her being black in it. He didn't fetishize her and she didn't fetishize him, type of thing. I like that. It was more of a genuine connection versus with Harry Belafonte and his and Fontaine. Fontaine was fetishizing his blackness in a sense and made race a topic the whole movie. So it's like, look like, you know, and again, no offense, that's just how the reality is. It looks like a white woman now wanted a black man to have a mixed baby, type of thing, or for exoticness, she was bored, type of thing, and she was wealthy. But with this one, there was no notes. If when race came up, it was because he was defending her, standing up for her, and not trying to hide their love, type of thing. But it shows an intelligent aspect where he was a writer and she was so educated and smart in it, that every time he'd write something, he'd have her proofread, he'd have her like give her input. Tell me if you like it. He even said in the cutest scene, I can imagine life without you, because who am I going to show my writings to when I'm excited about them? I want you to be the first to read them. Who am I going to have conversations with? And just, you know, it was sweet. It was more intellectual. There was a basis for it. It was not just purely physical. They had a very common interest. Played the role very well. And he immediately falls head over heels for her, like in love. And it's like, I like Justin and Dandridge together. He's not trying to keep their relationship a secret. You know, he's telling everyone who knows. He's telling her, don't hide the ring when he proposes to her, because she didn't want to wear it at the governor's office. Like, she was working, you know, and didn't want to bring attention to it. He was like, no, wear your ring. I proposed to you. Be proud of it. I don't care. You know, he wanted to confess his love to the mountaintops for her. He might have one twinge of jealousy or discomfort, but all in all, they're fine together. Like when she was doing the limbo dancing in the crowd and men were cheering and watching, he got jealous a little bit. that he wasn't disrespectful and she went to comfort him type of thing. You might think this interracial romance would be problematic as well, but it's not compared to Belafonte and Fontaine. What's the difference? Food for thought, but I think we all know why. In those days, white men saw black men as a threat to their white women. So on screen, they were not gonna let him have his way with a white woman. That would have been way too far. But black women, white men felt an entitlement to their bodies too. So it was more okay to show a relationship where a black woman was with the white man than the black man, you know, too. But I like how the writer was amazing with it, because it showed more Harry was for his people more than the lust of white women were. And that time, a lot of black men would lust after a white woman as a status thing to show I'm above the pack type of thing, where he, on his quest to power and to free his people, it showed he wasn't blinded by that distraction. That's what I got from it. But we also know that it will always be a little bit more acceptable to white men and white culture, even. I don't even think white women care that much when a white man is dating a black woman, especially if she's so like super feminine and you know what I mean. But to see this beautiful black man date one of their women, you know, even white women, older women, feel some type of way, like, you know. So okay, I like this Darrow's NX production. It's a colorful, lush, melodramatic production with racial and sensual tension, sensual restraint, and good-looking people. Okay, so Dorothy Dandridge is very easy to watch on film. Yes, she's easy on the eyes, but she's also not chewing the scenery and has a very natural presence on screen. You never see her act. I wish she's done more, actually. I wish they showed her more. She's not exotic, you know, and they don't fetishize her. She just fits in, you know. She's just a woman, a human. She had many facets she could tap into to express different characters. So this is all I got for the movie, and I really, really love it. And I think it's free on YouTube, actually. Somebody uploaded it. I put Island in the Sun full movie, and you could watch it. I think it's like public domain or something. You can watch it. So you guys can actually binge watch it today, get wine, relax, take your anxiety meds, I don't know, and watch and just chill. The colors are nice. The storylines, like I said, are lovely. And I just think it speaks a lot to today's time. And I'm glad I watched it. But on the topic of swirling on screen, I know those are triggering for people. Listen, I love this. It's not too intense to where you're gonna be like super offended watching. It's intense just enough, okay? And the costumes, the colors, definitely worth it, definitely worth it. But comment below what other movies, especially vintage movies, that you guys would like me to break down. I love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time.
This is my island in the sun, where my fever has soared since I have begun. I may sail on many seas, the shore will always